put over Tennessee. I'm here.
I love this guy. Love this guy. Oh, what I wouldn't give for 30 more games with Bobby Mays. So next level. Bobby Mays, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's good, man?
Hey, Bobby Mays, where are you these days?
Man, I just got to Washington, D.C., man, back where I was born and raised.
Ah, man, praise God. I bet it's good to be back home, isn't it?
Man, ain't nothing like home.
Where have you been? Where have your travels taken you here,
man,
recently?
Man, you don't even want to know the journey I'd have had to take, man.
Lay it on me.
You know all about it, man. Man, of course, I got picked in that D-League, and I ended up not playing. I hurt my hamstring real bad. I had tore my hamstring, so I couldn't play. So I waited out and started rehabbing and get ready to go overseas. And I went to Russia, and I got trapped in a real bad situation over there in Moscow. I was actually in Russia and for a couple weeks getting ready to play in the game. And they had a bombing at the airport, which was like 62 people died, and they had a lot of riots. And so I had to get out of there, man. It was a rough situation. So right now I'm just in D.C. waiting to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I saw that bombing that happened at the Moscow airport. Did that happen before you were there, or did that happen while you were there?
Yeah, that happened like while I was there.
Oh, good gosh, man!
I was on the way there, yeah.
That's, you get violence and crazy things that happen in our country with some of the stuff that's going on overseas right now. I don't even think about that. A lot of the guys that are playing ball.
Yeah.
And there are some guys playing ball over in the Middle East, too. That's got to be tough
being
in the middle of that.
You got guys over there, and I'd be the first to tell you, that's a tough adjustment. You know, for me, going to Russia, but not that many people speak English. I mean, there's a lot of Russians that speak English. The club I was at, not too many people speaking English. And McDonald's, the food that they feed you is completely different than what you're used to eating over here. And so you got to get used to it. It was an 8-hour time difference. Get used to the time change and everything. That's just a whole big, you know, that was a whole different lifestyle, you know, for me as far as just from every aspect of life.
So you basically got over there and said to yourself, man, I made a mistake. I'm getting out of here. Is that what happened?
Yeah, basically, you know, I got over there and, you know, I didn't realize, you know, the whole situation. I'd have loved to be there. Don't get me wrong. Moscow was a beautiful city. Had 13 million people. Everywhere, you know, I had a nice condo that they provided me with. My living arrangement. But just so happened that the place that I went to had, you know, some situations with some terrorists and some other things, you know. So if it wasn't for that, I would have loved to stay there. I would have loved to play on that team. And, you know, like I just said, this was a whole different change. Me not being able to talk to my family or just being able to see them a blink of an eye, you know, I just had to make that change.
Bobby, let me ask you something. When players that go through that type of thing like you have, do you ever have an opportunity to talk to your college teammates, your old college teammates, and let them know just how difficult things can be out there and maybe help them to understand that the little things that bother them today while they're playing in the States are really no never minds?
Yeah. Right, and I'll tell you, man, my life, it's just been crazy, you know, just the whole, you know, for me even getting to Tennessee and me actually being there. I mean, every day, it's not a day in my life I think that I made the right decision, you know, as far as my college career, because after Tennessee, you know, you are in the real world, so it's no more you getting checks from the school. It's no more you there, you playing in front of 23,000 every day, and you feel like you got the world on your side. But when it's over, you feel like, did you do everything that you possibly could have done to make yourself better? You think about, you know, was it, you know, if you would have just went deep in the tournament, has your life had changed? You would thought about me, for instance, who came out as the number one JUCO player in the country. Had you went to another school where you would have played the whole game, 35, 36 minutes, would you have been any NBA versus, you know, playing with 10 guys and yeah, you play to win, but what about your life after basketball? See, a lot of people don't think about that. So you know what I mean, you going through it then, but then after basketball, it's like, well, you know, what would I do now? And so that's crazy.
Are you glad you played here?
Man, you know, I love Tennessee. And like I said, I have no regrets, you know, like as far as, you know, the experiences and the winning. I wish I could have played more and showed more of what I could do at Tennessee. You know, it's, you know, Tyler going down and those guys going down, you know, was like, you know, people started to really see some things I could do when I was playing more minutes. Or when I first got to Tennessee and I was playing 35 minutes, my numbers was high. But like I say, you know, when you only come out of JUCO and you only got 2 years to play, which, you know, St. John's recruited me and they told me I would play 40 minutes a game. And, you know, Kentucky at the time, they had Porter. They didn't have a point guard, you know, coach. You know, I was supposed to go there and told me I would play all the time. So when I see these various coaches or when I see people, they always ask me, you know, why did you come out so much? Why did, you know, why wouldn't you play in the whole game? Like, why would you go somewhere if you knew that they was going to take you in and out? And I said, you know, I had no idea. I was under the impression I was going to play, you know, more than I was, and I was under the impression that we was going to press. So in that, like I said, I want to win, and I'm glad that I went to Tennessee. But, you know, right now, the decision I made cost me not to even get drafted, and now I'm kind of trying to find my way overseas.
You know, some people will hear that and go, well, this guy's sour grapes here. But I think you make a couple of good points. I think, first of all, I think at times, I think Bruce Pearl's a brilliant coach, and I think you do too. You signed with him, and I'd say you like the guy, but I think he plays too many people sometimes. I think there's too many people. There's too much of that going on. And then the other thing is, last year for you, it looked like the lights really came on there at the end of the year. I mean, you owned March last year. You were lights out in March. I mean, you really took ownership of that team. You ever wish you could rewind that clock and just get about 10 more games under your belt, playing at that level you were playing at, and get some stuff on film?
Right, yeah, I always do, you know. And like I say, it's not a day that I don't think about the decisions I made, because nobody else had to go to sleep at night in my shoes but me. You know, every game I played at Tennessee, I played it like it was my last. I enjoyed every moment. It was one of the best time of my life. You know, sometimes it put tears in my eyes because I just don't understand why certain things happened in my life, you know, the way they did. But, you know, everything happened for a reason. So, like I say, I love Coach Pro. I mean, like a father. And like I say, not just from the coaching aspect, but because he taught me a lot about life and how to do things the right way. You know, that's why, you know, it was kind of hurtful to me, even though when he went through the suspension. You know, I know a lot of coaches, a lot of teams that give players money and do this and that and the third, and coaches never, you know, to me, he's always, you know, played by the rules and just told everybody, I mean, that's life. And like I say, nobody's going to give you anything. You got to work for everything. So, you know, I just wish that I could have just played, you know what I mean?
Well, Bobby, I mean, let's face it, you're a guy who lives out loud. I mean, when you were first going to come here, you did the music video and with your rapping, and you're a guy who's not afraid to represent. And I think BP in a lot of ways is a lot like that. And we were talking with a former coach yesterday, Dave Odom, who used to be over at South Carolina, and he said the truth is, because we were asking him, why aren't a lot of these guys in this coaching fraternity coming to Pearl's aid in this deal? They're letting him twist in the wind, and on ESPN, they're almost hostile toward the guy, some of these former coaches, the way they talk about him. And he said, look, you got to understand, he said, when you paint your chest, when you take a team up into the stands at Georgia like he did several years ago, when you do some of the things Pearl has done, take your kids out in the crowd and walk down through the crowd, and you were there for that, he says, they're going to come after you. Do you think there's some truth to that? And I think people were critical of you too, Bobby, because you lived out loud in the same way.
Yeah, my thing is, you only live one life, and you know, nobody is promised tomorrow. You've seen the things that happen in Katrina or 9/11 or, you know, various accidents or bombing or terrorists. You never know what could happen. So, to me, to live every day like it's your last and have memories, you know, are priceless. And I think, you know, with Coach is, you know, he really embraces Tennessee. He loves Tennessee, and he's really into it. Some people do things for the money. Some people do it because, you know, out of the love. You know, he does it out of the love. And when you do more than just coach, and that's one of the things I couldn't tell you, you know, just I've been blessed to play with Durant and Beasley and all those guys from my area. But you would be surprised how many players never talk to their coach after practice. How many players never see their coach after practice? How many or the game? You know, it's strictly basketball. And with coaches, he actually wants to know. You know, he knows everybody on the team, family, you know, stuff about them. You know, if he knows there's something wrong. I think that's what separates him, you know, is more than just the coach, is that, you know, he really cares about the player. And so to me, you know, that's what coaching is all about. You know, you have like the great John Thompson, the guy that I look up to, Big John, and Coach Allen Iverson, the things that he's done for Allen Iverson and certain players as far as off the court and helping them become men.
You were talking about the comparison between Coach Pearl and the way that he's involved in the lives of his kids and also Coach Thompson. That's pretty strong stuff right there, Bobby.
Yeah. So that's how I would compare the two, because I'm close with Coach Thompson, and there's not too many coaches or that I know, because I've been around so many players where they don't have a relationship with their coach outside of basketball. And, you know, to me, that's why, you know, I will always love Coach, despite of whether I wish I could have done more or whether he feel like I could have done more. At the end of the day, you know, he helped me become into a fine young man, you know, taught me how school was important and about life after basketball. And to this day, I can call him right now, anytime, any day, and he's going to pick up and talk to me. Not the fact that I'm not playing there no more, but, you know, me talking about going back to school, you know, he helped me with that and trying to get my degree. So, you know, I always have a lot of respect for him.
That's next level.
Yeah, Bobby, I know you've been traveling a lot here this fall, but how much of this season, this Tennessee team, have you gotten a chance to watch, and what are your thoughts on them going forward here?
Oh, man, I watch a lot of that team, man, and, you know, whether it's live or through, you know, on the internet and checking the stats, you know, I think that team has a lot of potential. Of course, you've seen in the beginning of the year when they had some big wins against Pittsburgh and UConn, I think, you know, what they have to do is just find a rotation and stick with that. You know, you know, like I just heard that, you know, Skylar and Bone may be playing a point. And my key thing is, it's the same thing I think we see in football, and it's just because I've been playing the game. You have to stick with somebody, because basketball is full of confidence. When you are confident, you know, the toughest players to check when I was playing was a Devin Downey, John Wall, guys that had confidence. They knew that they was going to play no matter what. They could take any shot, you know, and they knew that their coach believed in them. Right now, I see a lot of inconsistency, you know, in guys playing and knowing their roles. So I think as soon as they find out their role and stick to that, then this team, you know, could have a chance to make a run.
Hey, Bobby, I've always been a believer. I love John Chaney growing up at Temple. I think you take your best seven, your best eight, and you play them. And you tell the rest of the guys, hey, you're here to make guys better, and if somebody gets hurt, you're going to play. I'm playing seven or eight. Guys can play 30, 35 minutes. Y'all are between the ages of 18 and 22. And if you cry and you're tired, then we'll put somebody else in. I don't understand why we're playing 10 or 11
Joel
guys.
McCray, I mean, that's a guy that I recruited. You know, he'll come there. He was on his visit. And I'm close with him. And the fact, I don't know, he's a 50 player in country. Like, you know, I don't know. But like I say, I know talent. I have a lot of basketball knowledge. I've been around basketball a long time. And I know that that kid can contribute on the court because he can go anywhere else and start. I mean, you got Jalen Steele from Knoxville, Tennessee, which is a pretty good player, but he goes and start at Mississippi State. So that's why I say sometimes it got to do with just picking the right situation for you.
Hey, Bobby, on the way out, you're put on for Tennessee. I've got an adaptation to that. You see, around here, whenever we're celebrating something, we always get bad news, okay? You follow what I'm talking about? Like last year, for instance, you guys went against Memphis, and then we had that situation with Tyler and all those guys and, you know, that whole thing. And so I say I put my cup on for Tennessee, my cup on for Tennessee. I'd like to get it on wax, you doing that for me right now. If you could go, I put my cup on! Would you do that for me? I put my cup on for Tennessee. My cup on.
What is the cup?
You know, like your athletic supporter, because somebody's going to kick you right there. That's what it's like when you're a fan of Tennessee. You know that once you get a good moment, somebody's going to come along and they're going to kick you right there. And you got to put your cup on.
All right. Oh, man. Y'all
here we go. You ready?
People I know in the world, man.
Well, we're trying. Now, go. I want you to go. Put my cup on. Will you do that for me?
Yeah, I'll do that. I got that A1 posture.
All right, go ahead. Here we go. I'll count you down. 3, 2, 1, hit it.
I put my cup on. You want me to keep going with it?
Yeah, I want you to bust it. I want you to bust it like you're busting it in that video. Yeah, like you mean it.
But I need to hear that beat, though. That beat.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Brian, give him a beat, Brian.
Cup on!
Roddy. Roddy Nation. I put my cup on. I put my cup on. Roddy.
Thank you, Bobby. Have a great day, brother.
All right.
Good. Thanks, Bobby.
That's all time.
That's a dumb scene.
That is all time.
Bino, you have a thought on this show today?
Tony, you've stole a day in February. It's hard to do, but you've done it. Congratulations.
He's such a good sport, though, isn't he?
I love him, man.
He did that this summer. We had him on. You weren't here. I had him on. He freestyle rap for 4 minutes. I put it on my iPod.
I love him.
Have you had two more candid interviews on back-to-back days?
No.
In Odom yesterday and Mays today?
No.
Just straight from the heart, telling you like it, they believe?
What's wrong with that? Some would say about Bobby Mays today, man, that was bitter of him to come on here and talk. I don't get that at all.
No.
I get a guy who loved coming here,
yep,
but he wishes his coach would have shortened the rotation and he had more minutes. And you know what? He's right.
The one selfish thing that you do as a player is select where you go to school and how they're going to play so it fits your talents. He didn't sound like a bitter man to me. He sounded like an honest man to me.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, they told me we were going to press and we didn't press.
That was what he hoped his livelihood would be, is playing basketball, and maybe it still will be. That was the step for him. It's the same as a doctor choosing a school.
Want to thank our friends at Stover's here. We love you. God bless.